Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
We're pleased to welcome TJ Reeves, who works the sidelines for the Buccaneers Radio Network. Gene Deckerhoff as the play-by-play. If you had to pick one or two factors, TJ, what did this game come down to?
Too many mistakes at the end of this game for Tampa Bay, and credit Jaden Daniels and the rookie, because they got the stop they had to have when the Buccaneers were trying to go up by four. They forced a field goal to tie at 20 apiece, and then they killed the final 4:41 with Daniels converting the third down with the pass. And then I still don't know, as we're talking in the middle of the night after hours here, how he got away from Kalijah Kancey to scramble and get the first down to kill the rest of the clock, because the Buccaneers had one timeout left. We're going to have a chance to maybe get the ball back. Again, they don't make the play. Washington makes the play all the way down to the doink, young lady, to win the game with a field goal.
Of course, it had to be that way for Commanders fans, just so it would keep them stressed out until the very final seconds. I even go back to the fumble that the Commanders were able to take away from the Bucs and then use that for a touchdown to briefly take the lead. How painful that moment for Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, it is, and I talked to him on Buccaneers radio immediately after this game, and he said, that's on me. It's a jet sweep that's mistimed. The snap didn't come maybe a half second early that it should have. It came a half second late. He doesn't get the ball cleanly to McMillan. The ball's on the ground, and that's the only turnover of the game. And in that moment, it gives the momentum back to Washington. They score a couple of plays later with the only touchdown the Bucs have given up in the last five games in the second half was the touchdown pass by Jaden Daniels there midway through the fourth quarter after that fumble. So they're going to look back on missed opportunities, but I think you also have to credit Washington. In particular, their defensive line really disrupted a lot of what Tampa Bay was trying to do throughout the night. They deserve credit for winning this game.
What did the players have to say, though, about being unable to protect their home field and to get the plays that they needed? So forget what the Commanders were doing, but leaving those missed opportunities out there.
Well, Baker in particular said, I'm sick. He said, this is what you play for. You play to get in the playoffs. You play to get a home game. We earned that. And then we just didn't play well enough. We didn't do the things that we needed to do in order to win. And in talking to a couple of the other guys, Graham Barton, the rookie first-round pick center, he said, hey, credit Washington's defensive line, but we didn't get them blocked. We didn't sustain drives that we needed to sustain in the first half, where Washington kind of had a cushion. And a lot of times these playoff games will come down to the fourth quarter and the final possession or two, and Washington was just the better team on the road. And what is it with the modern Buccaneers in the last 3 years? They give the Dallas Cowboys their first road off win this century, Amy. Tom Brady's final game is a Cowboy win in Tampa in a wild card round. And now 2 years later, it's been 20 years since the Commanders slash football team slash Redskins have won one, and it comes at the hands of the Bucs in Tampa as well.
What stands out about Jaden Daniels, your second time seeing him this season?
Yeah, he's tremendous. He's the real deal in terms of mobility and touch on the football, and they didn't do nearly enough to disrupt him throughout the first half of the game. He got comfortable. I really thought there could be an early mistake for a rookie in a playoff game on the road in a loud environment, and he just didn't allow that to happen. And you know, back to that Eckler play, Yaya Diaby, an outside rusher, he's in coverage. He's there. Here we go again. You don't make the play. You don't bat it down, much less catch it. And instead, it gets over him, and Eckler goes on to get 18 yards on the play. They're going to be sick. There's no doubt that you did not make the plays at the end of the game, and Washington did. That's why they're moving on to Detroit.
TJ Reeves is fresh off the Buccaneers sidelines as part of their radio network with us here after hours with Amy Lawrence as they fall to the Commanders 23-20 in the closest game so far of this wild card weekend. For the Bucs, it was a roller coaster ride this season. They started out well, then they went through a swoon, then they finished strong, as you talked about. What will you remember from their 2024 campaign?
Well, it was a tremendous year. I mean, Baker Mayfield becomes only the second Buccaneer quarterback to ever throw 40 touchdowns in a season behind that Tom Brady. Bucky Irving, as a rookie, ends up with a 1,000-yard season. That's the first one for the Buccaneers since 2012. And this offense was dynamic. What you look back on is they won games they had to win to get the postseason within reach and then clinch it. And then, unfortunately, it does end this way for everybody except one team that makes the postseason. One team gets to lift the Lombardi Trophy. Everybody else, it ends up being a loss. It's just that the Buccaneers weren't expecting that loss was going to come tonight at home against a team with a rookie quarterback that they really believed they were going to have a great chance to beat. And better be ready to handle the Commanders in the clutch, because if I'm not mistaken, this is now 4 wins, if not 5 wins in a row, virtually on the final play of the game, including overtime, last-second field goal, overtime touchdown. So they're great in the clutch, obviously, and I just watched it firsthand.
Cardiac kids, especially since so many of them are young players too. If you don't mind, TJ, I'd like to go back to last weekend, Mike Evans getting his 1,000 yards after some injuries this season and some time away. The team was committed to him getting the yardage he needed, and it comes on the last play of a game that they need to clinch the NFC South title again. I know you're on the sidelines there. What was that moment like?
Incredible. Incredible that they got the stop at the end of the game, up by 8. And then you're thinking, are they going to take a knee 7 days ago and end the game? Or are they going to try to get him the record when he only needs 5 yards? It's not like he needed 30 yards with, you know, 20 or 30 seconds left in the game. And sure enough, they dialed up a play, got him the 5-yard catch. It turned out to be about an 8 or 9-yard play, got him over the 1,000. And when you're on a list where it's you and Jerry Rice and that's it, that's incredible. For 11 straight 1,000-yard receiving seasons, that is a moment that is going to live for the next 10 years, if not 25 years. When Mike Evans goes in the Hall of Fame, they will show that highlight just because of what it meant to win that game. It's a walk-off, you know, the end of the game with the clock rolling, and he walked right to the locker room celebrating. That's a moment I'll remember forever, and that will go again as part of his Hall of Fame description on his bust, 11 straight, and maybe more, 1,000-yard receiving season. So, yes, that's a great moment from this year. A lot of positives for this Buccaneer team. It's just tough to accept that it ends this difficult way that it ends tonight with a loss at home to a rookie QB into Washington.
He's been there through so much transition and turnover and obviously multiple quarterbacks. What does his veteran presence mean to this locker room?
Enormous. And Lavonte David has been the same thing on the defensive side of the ball. Lavonte came 2 years before Evans in 2012. Evans came in 2014. And those guys are just leaders. Forget about great players. The leadership they bring for their position group, for the offense or for the defense, in the meeting room, on the practice field. The culture that's here is a winning culture because Evans and David helped establish it. Baker Mayfield has come in and been tremendous as a leader for this team. So there's a lot of things to be happy about. And when you start looking at Bucky Irving as a rookie, Jalen McMillan, I know there's the fumble and the controversy at the end of this game, but McMillan was brilliant down the end of the season. He was a late-round draft pick, a rookie. There are a lot of young guys on this team, so there's a lot of potential for what this team can do down the road.
TJ Reeves is with us after working this game in Tampa. So what are the major questions about the offseason, TJ?
Well, I think the biggest thing is you're going to have to get some pass rush help. Even though the Bucs had a lot of sacks, a lot of it came from their defensive tackles. They need some outside pass rush help. They need a cover corner to help this team down the road. And you cannot have enough weapons. I think you got to look for another receiver. Chris Godwin had an awful injury again earlier in the year, shattered ankle on a tackle in the Monday night loss to the Ravens, never came back, obviously, after that. So you're probably going to need another complimentary receiver. But there are a lot of pieces here. I mean, there's a lot of reason for optimism, again, with some youth mixed in with veteran players. You know, Vita Vea, defensive tackle, Tristan Wirfs, the all-pro left tackle. He's the first player ever in NFL history to be an all-pro at right tackle and now an all-pro at left tackle. So, and he's a young guy. He's only 5 years in the league. So you've got building block pieces for this Buccaneer team, and they'll enhance with free agency in the draft and reload with Baker Mayfield and see if they can't get back. But the tough part is we're talking about a whole process that's going to take another 50, 51 weeks before you're back to where you are right now, where you didn't get it done on this Sunday night.
Certainly a painful ending for the Buccaneers. It's been interesting to see Todd Bowles and Baker Mayfield and others, of course, but those two find a bit of redemption with the Buccaneers. Why do those guys fit so perfectly in Tampa?
I think a couple of the keys. Bowles is such a veteran and has been around Arians and obviously had been a head coach before, and he was a player in the league. You go back 35 years ago, he played, obviously, in the NFL as well for the Washington Redskins, now the Commanders. He's got a demeanor that I think is very effective with his team. And then as for Mayfield, he was on an audition last season, and he was brilliant, and this team rewarded him, and he wanted to put some roots down somewhere after, as I keep saying, and you love this, he had been passed around like the offering plate at church from Cleveland to Carolina to the Rams in basically a season and a half, and then comes to Tampa Bay the next year. So I think Baker Mayfield can really establish himself as the bona fide leader and quarterback of this team, not just for next year, but probably for three or four or more years of his career. And you look at the way that he played this season, you can't help but be excited. So the culture is definitely there. Bowles' leadership, Mayfield's leadership, and again, a lot of young offensive weapons around him. I mean, with the exception of Mike Evans, you're talking about Jalen McMillan, K-Dot in the tight end, Rashad White, Bucky Irving in the backfield. All of those guys are rookies. Jalen McMillan as well, rookies or first or second year players. So they have a really bright future and a lot of upside, and they have some salary cap room as well coming up.
But at this moment, it's painful, and it will take a bit of time to process. There is extra motivation, of course, too. So for TJ Reeves, it's the end of the line when it comes to the radio network and the sidelines, but he's got a podcast, well, one of many, that will recap all of the moments for the fan base that desperately needs to have some closure. You can find him online at Buck Sideline Guy. TJ, it's good to talk to you. I know it was after a loss, but I appreciate so much the time.
Whenever you need me, I did talk to you the night of Super Bowl 55 and the Buccaneer win.
Right.
So I pledge that, you know, win or lose, if you need me and you put the bat signal up, I'm going to be here. That's part of being a pro. You're a pro as well. Continued success. And let's do this again next year in another year with the Buccaneers. Whenever and wherever you need me, I will be here for you after hours, even on a tough night tonight. And again, congrats to the Commanders and their fans because they get to celebrate for the first time in a long time with a playoff win.